We're about to light up season 3 of Drifter's Sympathy on Feral Audio. Episode 1 is called Dawn of Individuation, which rolls the clock back to right when you decide who you want to be and the kinds of early decisions that, for better or worse, completely mold the rest of the shape of your life. And episode 2 is going to be called Loner Legends, sort of an attempt to define who the underdog really is and their role in history and culture and art. Season 3 drops on October 23rd. This is Emil Amos. Check out Drifter Sympathy on feralaudio.com.
Welcome to Twisting the Wind. Thanks for being here. It starts now.
I said, hey, dog, doggy. Hey, dog, dickadoo. I want to find myself an answer new. I want to lick it down, tuck it too. I want to be back, bucko. I want to be back, bookie boo. I'm finding all the questions that I already asked you. I want to ding, dack, duck, duck, buck. Ribbon, knuckle, bucky, boo. I want to find out time the mountainside where the green runs back to boo. You gotta booze up, lose up, blow up your top and chain. Chopping up the edges of the realmness and cut open the baby's brain. You gotta flip on that diver's style, flip on the diver's mask. Open up the bubble chart and lift that hover hatch. Ride on down to Semen Town, suck up what you can. And find yourself a baby girl living in a garbage can.
Okay, guess what? We're back. Hey, I'm back. There you go. That was it. Pretty anticlimactic, but what isn't, right? Everything's a bit anticlimactic. It's only not if you make it not, if you make it climactic. Honestly, I don't really know how to say it. I want to be honest right now. I have the boldness, I have the braveness to be honest. For years, up until this current day, right this second, I think I vacillate between anticlimactic and anticlimactic. I don't know the difference, and I guess I don't really care, because I think saying that phrase is, it's not that interesting anymore. Whatever. Can't wait to be taught. I'm surprised no one's told me something in conversation, like, you know, it's actually this, it's not that. Really? Because I was told it was that and not this by a person who sort of looks like a directly inversely proportional to your face. He has like a dip spoon face. He's like a bucket boy. He works over at the Jackfruit Weighing House. Very happy here. Hi, I'm Johnny Pemberton. This is Twisting the Wind. Very happy to be here. I, as you know, if you've been listening to this podcast regularly, you know this is, you haven't been able to listen to this podcast regularly because I haven't been doing it regularly, because I've been regularly doing something else. I'm working on this new show, for Fox Broadcasting, which is it's a network TV show, and it's been very consuming. A lot of 60-hour weeks going on. which isn't an exceptionally large amount of work, but I sort of have this thing where I have to rest to do my best. And I feel like I've learned that in the process of making this, that sometimes you just got to do one thing, and you can't do everything for everyone all the time, which sometimes this podcast becomes that. As much as I enjoy making it, and it is for me, it also is for other people to some extent, at least when they ask me, hey, where is it? Hey, Scorpy, where's that podcast you said it's coming out? I'm like, fuck yeah, I know. I said it to myself, it's coming out, but I just really had to dip into these deep waters, and they're deeper than I thought. We had a little drama on the show. Not drama. Drama implies something, I guess I wouldn't call it drama. I'd say I'd call it a hiccup. I'd call it like just, it's a normal, maybe a growing pain is a better word for it. I think a growing pain is a pretty good word for it. So we had some stuff, and it just took more, it took so much mental energy and attention from me to keep everything going how, to make it feel good, to make it work. So, but we're fucking cooking along. We got some, I don't really talk about this stuff on the podcast very much because I feel like it's, this isn't really the place for that. I kind of started this podcast as a rejection, not so much a rejection, but as like an exercise against the machinery of the television production, which can be, at worst, makes you feel alienating. It has an alienating experience. It can make you, I don't know, it's something about it. It can feel not very creative at times because just that's the nature of, you are creating a commercial work. But even though you're creating a commercial work, the whole point it's commercial is because it's interesting and compelling, and that's what makes stuff good. So it's this weird bivalent thing here. There's two things going on. It's the classic yin and yang, okay? So classic yin and yang. And you know what that is because you've seen it in a tattoo that I wanted to get when I was 8 years old. I really wanted to get a yin-yang. I thought the yin-yang was the coolest thing ever invented. And the older I get, I still feel like the yin-yang's pretty fucking cool, man. That's the problem with the yin-yang. It's too cool. It's too fucking cool. The goddamn yin-yang is too cool. It's too simple. It's too just it's so cool. It's been easily adopted by things that do not at all encompass the idea of the yin yang. I make myself laugh. But either way, here I am right now. Happy to be here. Happy to be here sending out the songs and sounds to you. I'm really excited for everyone to see this TV show. It's called Son of Zorn. It's a really funny, it's a very strange show. I think sometimes I forget that this is a weird television product. It's not a normal show. And it's really cool to see it coming along, to see it. I'm really honestly excited to have people see it, who, especially people who've listened to this podcast and people just who already know me, to see what they, I don't know. I think it's going to be fun and interesting and cool, and it's going to only raise the waters for all of us here. So please tune in September. Yeah, it's a long way off. So there you have it. There you have it. There you have it. There you have it.
You are currently listening to Twisting the Wind on the Feral Audio Network. Net worth? You say net worth or net? You said network, right? Because it doesn't make sense to say Feral Audio net worth. But it's pretty, I think it's going up there, right? Aren't they doing a relaunch in July? It's going to increase the network. Hey, what's up? This is Dicker Troy, a.k.a. Hands on the Butter Boy, a.k.a. Double Down, Pack It In, and Spend It Once and Say It Again. Dicker Troy here letting you know you're listening to... Twisting the Wind on the Feral Audio Network. Twisting the Wind with Johnny Pemberton. He's the host. He's a comedian, an actor, all those sort of things. Gardener. You know that if you're listening. If you're new to it, now you know. Okay. If you're new to this podcast, you should also know this is not a normal podcast. It isn't comedians talking to comedians about comedians. It can be at times, but typically Johnny tends to stay away from that because it is inherently uninteresting. And actually, it's not inherently uninteresting so much as it has been had. It has been had by other people. So, who's there? Knock, knock. Ding dong came out of sight of me. You're listening to Twisting the Wind here on the Feral Audio Network. Please be sure to rate and review the podcast if you are so inclined. Also, be sure to subscribe. Definitely subscribe. That's a good thing. That keeps you on alert when the dirt drops in the bucket. It's like a little ping pong, ding dong, wing wong, hang hong, fing fong, fling bong, ting tong, bing bong, sing song, sing song, hong hong. Yeah, do that. Subscribe, rate, and review. When I say rate and review, it's a two-prong process on the same fork. You go into iTunes there, and you give it a number of stars. If you don't give it 5 or 4, I don't know what you're doing here. Go someplace else. Go back to the softball field, drink 19 beers, and crash into a tree. Actually, don't crash into a tree. Crash into a ditch. Actually, don't do that. Just don't. Now, don't die. Don't do anything. Just go do something else. Go watch House of Cards. So do that. You write through, pick the number of stars, and you write the little review in there saying, I love it. It's fun. Or whatever you want to say. Hear about Twisting the Wind, a.k.a. Executive Buffet, a.k.a. Hands on the Branch. Do that, and that, do that in remembrance of me. Also, what you can do that helps everybody out, helps float the waters for all the boats inside the waters, is go to the Feral Audio page and go to, you shop on Amazon through the link on the page, and it gives us, it helps us out. And I'm going to recommend some stuff that you buy. You're listening. Keep it up. Keep it in. Lock it up and butter your friend.
That was DJ Dicker Troy. Thanks, Dicker, so much for popping in there. Oh, I'm having trouble catching my breath. I'm going to tell you this. It's hot in Los Angeles right now. It's the second day of the first of the heat. That sounds like the first man. It is fucking... It's not even blistering. It's just the first heat is always the hardest. I drank a bunch of wine last night. I drank a bottle of Chardonnay by myself. I did a bunch of things. I was fucking running around, going nuts. I was in the house all by myself. I got a couch delivered. A couch I ordered 4 months ago. Finally, it showed up. They couldn't find the place. that's such a stupid thing. No, they could find the place. They found it just fine. But so, yeah, I just did all this stuff yesterday. I drank the wine. It was good. It's good to drink wine on ice outside when you're working in the garden. I had a real goddamn motherfucking garden mishap. Not a mishap, just a misjudgment on my account. I haven't been doing much gardening outside of container gardening, which I do love. I think container gardening is highly underrated, and also people act like it's not gardening. I think it can be actually harder to garden in containers because, well, it's both. Everything is everything, right? As Donny Hathaway said. I really feel like that's true. I always go back to that. So I built this garden bed. I built this. This is one of my proudest achievements in the past year, I'd say, at least. I haven't felt this good after doing something. Oh, my God. It was like having sex with the universe, right? Yeah. Either way, it just felt great to get this all done. It took me a ton of work. It's a long story that I've told aloud enough to this point. I'm not interested in retelling it here because I think it'll be boring if I do like it is right now. But the way to say it is the dirt that I got from a guy to put in the box that it took me a long time to build is still cooking down. It's still composting, so it's creating a lot of heat. And that heat combined with the heat of the fucking sun that just arrived 2 days ago, like a fucking goddamn moon landing, it just showed up, man. It was 2 days ago, it was like 60 degrees here. It was nice. It was overcast. There's this thing in LA called the June gloom. It's an actual thing. It's a meteorological event. It means like usually before noon, In June, you have overcast skies. It seems sort of like kind of foggy almost, like you're living by a marina, by the ocean. It's because of that. It's a marine layer. It's a real thing. The smog mixes it with the marine layer. Yes, we have smog. It's okay. But the marine layer is real. It's a real thing. It's moisture in the atmosphere. And it's awesome. It's really great. It makes you want to go out and have like a greasy breakfast with a friend in a raincoat. Like where you and a friend walk to the greasy breakfast place, have a greasy breakfast because it's drizzling out. At least that's what I used to do when I lived downtown, and it was fun. But this fucking June gloom is done. It happened early. It happened for like 2 weeks, and now we've got this fucking... I'm sorry I'm swearing so much. It's terrible to swear as much as I do about this, but it really enlivens me. Is the heat just showed up, and my poor little plants that are seedlings, I got some eggplants, some peppers, some kale, some arugula, got that stuff in there. They just got blasted from the sun. In addition to being inside dirt that I definitely messed up, and it's still cooking down, it's still composting. So, long story short, again, I just had to do a bunch of work. That's not that bad. Everything's okay. It's fun. It's cool. We're alive, right? It's fun and cool. Hey, welcome to gardening. It's fun. It's cool. You're alive. Hey, hi. Welcome to Garden Gardens. Hi. Welcome to Garden Gatorade with the wine boy. What's your problem? Okay. I got like this dirt, but it's got worms in it. Oh, that's actually a good thing. It's actually a good thing. Do you understand? It's actually a good thing. You want those worms in there. 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 Hi, it's Melinda Two-Trick. I understand you had worms that you didn't want, and you don't want them in there, but you do. You want them in there. You want them in there. Okay, enough of that. Okay, is that enough of that? Here's the deal. I have a great podcast for you here today. It's really fun. It already is good, right? It's already a fun one, isn't it? It's already a fun one. We're having a good time. I'm having a great time. Fun to be back. Fun to be locking it in. I'm really looking forward to the new Feral Audio expansion that's going to be happening in July, and with that, a new podcast from me truly. Yeah, so that's going to be really cool, and it's just a really exciting time. Please enjoy my friends Brendan and my friends Randon and Brendy. They're on the podcast today, and these guys are super cool. They're just really great guys.
Chocolate.
Where's the closest house of pies? Peter picked a pack of pickled peppers.
That's me.
Wait, that one sounded like Crazy Frog.
So metallic and terrible.
That sounds like we're on a shitty movie. Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hi, welcome to Twisting the Wind with Jami Pembertram. My guests today are Bim and Balsh.
It's pronounced Blarmy.
Blarmy Galsh. Blarmy Balsh and Candy Dip Street. Candy Dip Tree.
That's better.
Candy Dip Tree. Candy Dip Tree and Ben and Balsh.
Yeah.
Hi, Jambi.
Hi, guy.
What's up?
Hi, guy.
What's up with your phone lately?
My phone?
Dude.
Nothing's up with my phone.
We're phone twins.
You're listening to Twisting the Wind with Jami Pembertram on the Feral Audio Network featuring Brendan Walsh and Randy Lickey of The Bone Zone.
I muted my phone.
How'd you do it?
There's a setting for mute. I can even put it on airplane mode if you want. You want me to put it on airplane mode and then throw my phone at a cop?
Yeah. That's cool.
I like that joke.
Yeah.
I put my phone on airplane mode and then all the controls in it changed. You have to be a pilot to figure it out. And you can't even answer the phone unless you do something that a pilot knows.
Unless you do an engine run up. Yeah. And you check your magneto and the static ports and your pitot tube.
And then you gotta reduce the air pressure.
Make sure you stop building any cracks. You know about that?
Stop. Wait, what is it? Stop on the cracks?
Stop drill. If there's a crack, you gotta drill a little hole in it so it doesn't keep cracking.
Oh yeah, like the Liberty Bell.
Oh, there's a little hole in it?
There's a bunch of
cracks.
There's a bunch of holes. There's a big crack, but then there's a
hole
like
above it.
Holes drilled into the crack.
It's called stop drill.
Yeah.
Cool.
Stop drill. That's what I say when a dentist starts drilling my cavities. I'm like, stop drill.
Yeah, that's what girls say when I'm fucking them.
When you're fucking drill. When you're laying that sweet David's pipe.
Yeah, because that's too long.
When you're raping them.
Sometimes I lay down. What's called?
Nope.
Do you ever do a David's pipe?
Randy's practically a rapist.
Hey, Randy. So I've heard some notes on the comedy scene lately that you're cleaning it up.
Yeah, I'm not a rapist.
I heard you're not a rapist, but in terms
practically
of
practically a rapist.
I in terms of if pussy was trash, you'd be a garbage man.
What's that mean? I don't get it.
If pussy was trash, you'd be the man who once a week.
Not in the comedy scene. Nope, that's incorrect.
Not on the comedy scene. I'm just talking about in this. I've heard on the comedy scene.
No, it's all false.
Because I go on the scene once a week. I dip into the scene.
Go to the forums.
Yeah. I grab the wire.
Go into the waiting pool.
I get the download,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, hey, who's doing what, and who's doing it where, and how's he doing it?
Yeah, and what's it all about?
Yeah, and so I heard that. Obviously, you don't have to talk about it. It's fine.
No, it's not true.
I don't shiv a git.
I've been, I had sex with a guy.
What's his name?
Devin.
Devin Jam?
Well, he pronounces it Devon.
Devon.
Devon Jenkins.
Is it Devondra Bandhart?
No, yeah. That's different. Is it? The musician?
No, I'm sorry. I was looking at my phone. I wasn't paying attention.
Have you guys had Devondra Bandhart on your podcast?
No, but he used to come into the store I used to work at.
Right, and stink it up with his smelly hip.
Do all sorts of weird stuff.
What would he do that's weird?
We would, I would make him a coffee, and then at the end of it, he would pick it up and look at the very bottom of the cup for a long time, and it was either like he was like offering it to the gods or he was looking at the bottom of the cup. Like he'd be like, thank you, and then he would just raise it up straight above him and just stare at it for like 10 seconds and then walk away.
That is a cool affectation, man.
Yeah.
I wish I nurtured more things like that throughout my life.
Nurture more being a weirdo.
Like a real weirdo. Yeah, and people just accept it. They're like, yeah, he wears sunglasses all the time.
Yeah.
And, like,
I mean, you have to be
down.
Like a famous musician to pull it off.
Because otherwise people
There's
just
regular
go,
people who do
fucking
that
cut it out.
Yeah. Regular people.
I wouldn't have a real job.
There's less leeway for regular people. Like, if you're a musician, you can dress however you want. You can act however, you can treat women however you want.
That's Ooh. True. You can really beat them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get away with
it. You can write a song called Imagine All the People.
Shut the fuck up!
See, you're...
Imagine all the sin.
Have you done research on the John Lennon was a wife beater?
No, I just, it's like... It's
one
kind
of those things out there.
It's one of those things that's out there, right? Isn't it out
Did
there?
Did he beat Yoko Ono? Or was it the first one?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it was probably... I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either.
I mean, Kobe Bryant raped that girl and everybody...
That's right. He did. He did a rape.
Yeah, he did a rape.
Everyone still likes
Everyone
him.
Still likes him.
Did he?
You know, it sounds like that. I read a whole thing about it the other night when he did his retiring. And
we'll never know, though.
I guess not, but it's not... I mean, I think... Yeah, I think he probably did. Like, they settled it out of court.
If he didn't rape, he did something not good.
It sounds like he, just raped the girl. Oh, maybe, like, a lot of girls were just kind of into it. Like, they were just like, oh, okay, whatever. Kobe Bryant just bent me over a chair and he's fucking me.
That's Kobe. But have you seen him play basketball?
Yeah. Oof, straight to
like,
the hole.
It's like Michael Jordan without the pizzazz.
Maybe he didn't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to go around accusing people of rape.
People always have called me Michael Jordan without the pizzazz, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they called you an extra rapey Kobe Bryant.
I'll take it. Kobe Bryant, very successful.
If pussy was trees, you'd be a lumberjack.
Well, also, if trees were trees, I'd be a lumberjack.
That's true.
Yeah,
see?
That's true.
Well,
yeah.
It grows both ways.
Did you ever put your dick in a knot hole of a tree?
No.
Oh, have you?
In a knot hole of a fence.
What, back in old Philly, did you do that?
No.
Hey, Philly. Hey, fucking Demi Doe. Joko. Peepa. Check out this knot hole I found in a fucking tree down by Gino's Pizza Subs.
Oh, you were just in Philly.
I was, yeah.
Wait, did you get a cheesesteak?
I did.
Where?
It came from someplace, I think it was called Roberta's or something. Or
there's a place on every corner.
Right. And they all taste pretty much the same, I feel like.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, unless you could tell if you have a real bad one, if it's just all fatty.
Say, well, it's good. The roll was good and soft.
The rolls are all the same.
Uh-huh.
Those Amoroso rolls.
Amoroso roll, right? It was an Amoroso roll, and the meat was chopped up. It was salty and good.
Mm-hmm.
Get some onions in that shit.
Yeah, I love Philly cheese.
Did you put regular cheese on it or cheese whiz?
It was whiz. You kidding me? Wit.
I never, that's... I feel like that's something that... I never heard that when I was in Philly. Like, what? I never heard anybody be like, "Go wit." I think that was just something like somebody invented to like, where they're like, when you go here, so you sound like you're in the know, you go in and say, "Give me wit."
Yeah,
and they say, "Wit to wit out."
That's what I kept doing at all the shows we did, because we always did we had a show in Philly, Boston, New York, like all places where it's like, you know, that's, oh, are you from, are you local or not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to fucking do. I don't know.
Oh, you gotta go down to the loading docks and you gotta take a shit off the pier.
Yeah, when you go there, ask for Buddy Jack and slap his mom on the tit, and then they'll know you're a local.
Oh, you gotta get it. You got one of them stupid haircuts. You gotta get a local haircut. Go down to Vince's. Tell him Jim Jom sent
you. You're gonna have to wait for 4 hours, but it'll be worth it, because that guy tells a story that'll suck your dick around.
Oh, you haven't had a tasty cake?
Are you...
Where'd you guys stay?
Oh, on the bus.
Really?
Yeah, it's a tour bus.
I thought I saw... Wait, you guys slept on the bus the whole time? I thought you were just...
I did.
Take the...
Yeah, we all did. No, because what happens is after the show...
So where do you park it in Philly?
You drive.
You park it on the road, on the side of the road, like a block from the venue.
And you just sleep on it all night?
You sleep... No, here's what happens.
Or the guy drives it through the night?
After the show, the bus driver usually shows up at about 2 a.m., 3 a.m.
Okay.
He turns the bus on and drives to the next location... And you wake up at like 7 a.m. and you're in new place.
Yeah.
Depending on how far the drive. So this was all... When I was there, it was just everything was pretty close together, like 2-hour, 3-hour drive. Yeah. So we'd leave at 3, get there by 6.
And then you stay on the bus all day?
Yeah.
Or you get a hotel? No
hotels? Stay on the bus all day. There's a shower in there. A lot of times the venues had showers. I think it sucks.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. I think it sucks.
I mean, I thought it was like a combination of bus and hotel sounds appealing to like just be able to leave the venue, not have to deal with the airport, get on a bus, hang out. You can drink. You can fucking hang out with your friends, sit there, watch TV,
well, the thing
go to
is,
sleep, and then wake up in a new town and go to the Four Seasons, be like, hello, I'm here. I would like the penthouse suite.
I like the penthouse suite to shower my balls.
I'd like a penthouse suite with a stack of penthouse magazines in the bathroom.
Extra fucking dessert.
So I can jerk my fucking dick
King
when I'm
Ralph
in the shower.
King Ralph style. Raisinettes in the bathtub. That's what I'm talking about.
Was that a King Ralph thing?
King Ralph, raisinettes in the bathtub. Raising your nuts up to the top of the bathtub water.
Raising nets in the bathtub.
Raising nets while I'm raising my nuts, motherfucker.
Raising nets while I'm raising my nuts. Got enough to make your butt full of cuts. I got a fistula. I got a physia. I do nuclear fission while you're busy sucking dickola. My name is Greg Toba.
Greg Toba, born in October.
Greg Toba.
What's a fistula is like a hole underneath your butthole, right?
I can't remember, actually. I know a fissure is like a little cut. I've had anal fissures before.
Really?
Yeah, but not bad ones.
I've had like fizz, like pop.
You put pop rocks up your ass?
Yeah.
Anal fissure.
Ooh, I wonder, I guess they would pop. How wet is it inside your ass?
Depends on how many farts you just had that were super wet.
You could definitely put pop rocks in your ass. They would pop.
Yeah. You get them deep enough, it's wet up there for sure.
Do you think
I'd get a funnel. Melissa wouldn't do it. We could hire a porno girl to do it, put pop rocks in her pussy.
That's a good one to do, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how cheap. You could probably get a porno girl to come over for like $100.
A porno girl.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Low level. Somebody.
Just say a girl.
Put it out on Craigslist.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. You
15 minutes, $100.
You put pop rocks in your pussy. Hiring an escort, essentially.
Well, that's expensive, though, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't want a depressed. See, I would prefer to have it be like
a performer.
Yeah, somebody who's like kind of in on the joke. They get it. It's not a sad situation where somebody shows up just because they need money.
But
and
if
they're
it's
gonna
an
do
escort,
this.
That like that's what they do, and you'd be like, "Hey, I know." Typically, you would probably have
for someone
sex
else,
with someone.
Though.
Yeah, they're working for someone else, and there might be a human trafficking issue.
Not if you could do it right. I bet you spend some time.
I said we put an ad on Craigslist.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll get someone to respond to it.
And just say exactly what
someone,
you want.
It'd be some girl that wants to pay her rent or something. It'll be sad either way.
You see, I would rather do it with somebody who's like, oh, I'll just do it because it sounds fun.
Yeah, I think that's a better way.
Yeah. I think that's a very idealistic world.
That's why I'm saying a porno girl, because there are like these, there's definitely like the porno girls who...
Hey, do you
like
have any
hang
coke?
Around?
Yeah. Pay me and just have some coke.
Do you have any coke on you?
Yeah, I've got a bunch
of
coke.
I could do a bump.
You want a bump of coke?
Yeah,
I'll
do a bump. Bump it up. Got to bump it up.
I have some
doing some coke.
Five Vans.
Johnny's house. Bumping that coke.
Bumping that coke. No joke, Randy.
Yeah, I'm out of it, man. These allergies fucking really.
You're out of coke?
Do you want a
pill? I'm out of coke.
Do you want anything to take?
I took a.
Do you want to pause? We're 13 minutes in. You want to pause?
No, I'm fine. We can, you know, it's up to you guys.
Does this make your allergies feel better?
Some puppy paws.
Hi, I'm playing Call of Duty right now with my dad. His dick is big, and I sit on it like it's a couch. It can't get hard, but it is soft, and it's really thick. It's like a special chair that's like a long, thick, wide worm. I sit on my daddy's dick. It's like a dead alligator. But it's my daddy's dick.
It's not illegal. Oh, sorry.
Say it. Say what you want.
I was going to say it's not illegal if you sit on your dad's dick sideways. Like if it lays like a couch.
Like a couch.
Like long ways if you sit on the side.
Yeah, like a fallen tree.
Like, right. Like side saddle.
So, yeah, side saddle.
I love side saddle.
But if you straddle it and if you sit on the tip, then that's where it gets murky legally.
Murky. I have a question.
Go ahead. Fire.
Do you have any tales from the road?
Any tales from the road, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I've been around here for a while. Well, I guess I was just on the road.
You've been on the road more than I.
Yeah.
No, that was just 1 week.
This year, man, I haven't been on the road hardly at all.
No, I know you have. I know it was like, you're out of town.
Well, last thing I did was Winnipeg. That was like month ago.
Okay, and you already told that tale from
the road. Well, there's no tales there. I locked myself out of the place I was staying in the first night.
In Winnipeg. That's a crazy story. Did you hear that?
It's not a crazy story. It's just really embarrassing.
He climbed up the rain spout.
You serious?
Yeah, and he gets up to almost the third. He's staying on the fifth floor. Around the third floor, the thing starts to, hears a creak, and it's like, and it like separates from the building.
Yeah.
And he falls.
Three stories.
Yeah, he falls back, and there is a pillow truck driving by with a delivery of pillows, like in a dump truck.
That happened to me, but it was the feather delivery to the pillow factory.
Oh, yeah.
I landed. They just had a tarp over it.
Yeah.
And I was like, poof.
Oh, same rain spout situation?
It was actually a fire escape ladder that split down the middle. And all the, you know, the little things you grab, the tines or the rungs of the ladder. Yeah. The rungs of the ladder.
Yeah. Tines is a fork.
Tines of a fork.
Man, you guys know hella words.
Tines of a fork and runs of a ladder.
I would just call them like steps.
On the fork?
On a ladder.
On a letter?
Letter, like the letter E.
Oh, you call those lines steps?
Yeah. Three steps and an E.
The points in the fork are called tines.
T-I-N-E-S?
Yeah. And the tips of your shoelaces. Those things at the end of your shoelaces, do you know what they're called?
What are they called?
Aglets.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
Aglets. What kind of dumb honky tonk bullshit is that?
I don't know.
Aglets.
I looked it up, dude. I was writing a joke about them.
Oh, I think I remember that.
I wasn't writing a joke. I think I was writing a tweet though, where I said I want to open an inconvenience store, and all they sold was something and shoelaces without aglets.
Nice.
I got a sound for you here.
Brendan and I are sponsored by iPad Mini 2.
What is that?
The still being sold but slightly outdated version of the iPad Mini.
Are they up to four now?
They have right now. If you want a mini, you can buy a mini 2 or a mini 4.
Oh, really? What's the 4?
The 4 is a little bit lighter and thinner.
Okay.
And has a slightly faster processing chip inside of it.
Roger.
The resolution and all that stuff is the same.
Hmm.
And it has like some extra features, like an iPhone probably has like the slow-mo video and that type of thing, like the burst capture on your iPhone. The newer iPad Mini has that, and it also has
burst capture.
You know, like you take a picture and it takes like 10 pictures at once.
Let's say you were like a girl was like taking her shirt off and the tits were flopping out.
And you wanted to get the best.
Oh, so you just hold the button down and it goes.
Yeah.
And so you get like a full blue like flip book with those tits flopping out.
But also you can just choose the best one out of there.
But you could do a flip book.
And it's designed for flip books.
The back facing camera is 8 megapixels, whereas the Mini 2 is 5.
I can't believe this is real.
Yeah, we're sponsored by iPad Mini 2.
If you available at the Apple
Amazon?
Store,
Amazon, Best Buy.
It's available where?
Still available.
Apple Store, Amazon,
Best Buy,
eBay,
Half.com, Amazon,
Best Buy, Zappos.
It's available.
Food for less.
What?
Coles.
AM.
Ralph.
Coinstar.
Coinstar.
Los
Siete del Jabon.
Yeah.
That's in the Mexican part of town.
What about Dollar Tree? Did you say that?
Dollar Tree.
How about yummy.com?
If you buy it at the Dollar Tree, they make you do a lot of transactions because it doesn't cost more than $1.
You order it at the Dollar Tree, but you pick it up at the Dollar General. Guys, I gotta say, I got that General car insurance, and it is the best.
What's so good about it? Does that little
guy... Go to the General and save some time.
Does that little guy show up?
It's, no, but you get lots of swag.
What kind of swag?
Pictures of him.
Sunglasses.
T-shirts.
I bet he's got a square.
Mugs.
Keychain.
I bet he's got a...
Back scratchers.
I bet he's got a...
Dick smoother.
Robot arms.
I bet he's...
Oh, yeah, robot arms. Did you say robot arms?
Yeah. Robot legs.
You get an extender for everything.
I bet he's got a square dick.
Yardsticks.
You get a jacked car and a car jack.
Yeah. Tape. Like that blue painter's tape. And those and pencils that are like flat rectangular pencils.
You mean
pencils.
A carpenter's pencil?
Yes.
I love those.
A flat carpenter's pencil?
Yeah, because that's more surface area to write the general on it.
Well, and then you sharpen it with
a knife, a utility knife.
The also, same kind of knives that the terrorists used on 9/11.
It's the same kind of knives
the terrorists used on 9/11.
It's the same kind of knives
the terrorists used on 9/11. It's the same kind of knives that the terrorists used on 9/11.
The same kind of knives
the terrorists used on 9/11.
The same kind of knives
terrorists use on 9/11.
The same kind of knives
that the terrorists used on 9/11.
The same kind of knives
that the terrorists used on 9/11.
On the road with the general, talking to people about their auto insurance.
Okay, how many think you're paying too much for insurance? How many are uninsured because you think you can't afford it? Then you need to go to thegeneral.com for a super fast quote. Rates and monthly payments are low, and the down payment's as low as $59. And you'll get instant proof of insurance. For the best car insurance rates online, go to the general and save some time.
Nice.
Thank you for listening to Twisting the Wind, brought to you by TheGeneral.com car insurance. The only car insurance you can get for any car as long as the car is yours. The General. TheGeneral.com. Please type in promo code TWISTWIND at the promo code window prompt, and you will get a 20% off initial 3-month bid buyout guarantee liftoff for your TheGeneral.com car insurance. Type in Bone Zone, not the Bone Zone, but Bone Zone, the promo code offer window.
Bone Zone, no E's, because there was a 6-letter
right.
Limit.
Right. So it's
B-O-N-Z-O-N.
Bonzon.
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 Type in Bonzon.com.
And then you get a special offer where you get, the general will issue you all the paperwork to prove that you have insurance if a cop pulls you over, but if anything happens, you're not covered for anything.
Yep. I would pay for that. And I would get pay that for real.
And you get a discount on robot arms.
Yeah. I would fucking seriously pay for that.
Yeah, just until something happens, though. But also, you know what? I think, like, when I had all the wheels stolen off my car, the craziest thing. Yeah, I let so many things slide. Where I'm like, well, I guess that just no sense in looking into. I don't really know what I was supposed to do. Everybody said that, my apartment manager probably had something to do with it.
Yeah.
And I believe them.
He definitely was like, hey, so, you didn't hear this from me, but this guy's going to be gone for 3 weeks.
Oh, that's not how he talks at all.
And this guy's going to be gone for fucking 3 weeks.
Brandon has a really good impression of him.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, no. Apartment. No, the guy in the apartment across the hall, he's going to be gone for a month.
I don't know. Like, it was just like, it's not up to me, but.
I keep telling them. By the way, we have to have hot water here, but they just don't listen.
And,
what's his name?
Did you notice that it's a very similar name
to you?
Johnny. It is. You're the only two Johnny. Or maybe not. But lately, this worried me last night when I went out to go see the Jungle Book.
You saw it?
I went and saw it last night at 10 o'clock.
Fully animated?
The film, not the book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like fully animated in the sense that I guess he's like really in the woods sometimes.
But there's no people.
There's no, just the one kid.
Oh, he's real.
Yeah,
he's
the kid's
boy.
Real.
He's a boy.
It's a living boy. If you're into young boys wearing loincloths.
It's a living boy.
But there was like a very strong diarrhea smell downstairs when we were going to the garage.
The dumpster's been smelling, right?
I hope it's the dumpster, because then I was thinking, like, man, if this is the fucking sewage, that's what's really going to clear everyone out. Because
that's a big fix.
Yeah, that's a big health. I think like the city would probably kick you out. They'd be like, you can't live here, guys. There's fucking, it's an open sewer.
Yeah. Oh.
That's, I want to get out of that place. But when my wheels got stolen, my insurance covered it.
Mm-hmm.
which was pretty nice, where I was like, okay, well, I just called them, was like, yeah, my wheels got stolen, filled out a police report, and then they like paid for my new wheels and shit. But if you think about it, I've been paying car insurance, I don't know, for 20 years.
So you've been,
and that's like all, so I've invested like, you know, I don't know, $30,000 to get my wheel. Like when when you first started, especially in Philadelphia, when I was a teenager, it was like $2,000 a year to have car insurance.
Are you serious?
Well, because it's a city where like there's a lot of
carjackings, muggings.
No, but there's a lot of people without insurance who are smashing into people left and right. And then there's, and you're a fucking 16-year-old shithead. So they're like, yeah, you're probably going to hit a few people. So it's $2,000 a year for insurance.
Guzzle me out of that.
My insurance is pretty expensive.
How much?
It's like 10 grand.
A month?
Every 3 months.
But that's for all your cars.
Yeah, I do have a lot of cars.
Well, that's, of course, it's going to be expensive. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my cars are like beta cars.
Yeah. Oh, like a Tesla.
Yeah. Tesla is what they call the Teslas that they don't even offer to the public.
Like a Tesla.
They call them Teslas because they're still testing them.
I got a Fistula. It's the new Tesla.
Yeah.
A Tesla.
So you really have a Fistula?
No, well, it's a new type of Tesla. It's the Fistula.
Is it self-driving?
It's every time you take a shit, it downloads the information and then contours it with a laser beam, and then it knows exactly when you have to go to the bathroom when you're driving, and all you have to do is think about pooping, and it takes you to a bathroom. It just drives you there. And
the car takes you there.
Like, time to go poo-poo.
What if the government hacks into that, though?
Then they could make you shit all the time.
Probably make you shit your pants.
They can make you shit your pants like in front of a cop, and that's illegal.
Didn't Tesla invent a chair that made people shit themselves?
Yeah.
Pretty sure, and I'm pretty sure that, what's his face sat in it?
Thomas Edison?
No.
Direct current?
Mark Twain.
He did.
He sat in a chair and shit his pants. Like it would vibrate at like this frequency that made you shit your pants if you sat in a chair.
Really?
I'll Google it. That's a bad choice because he always wore white.
Yeah.
Did he always wear white, though? Did he always?
Every single day, I recall.
Did he always?
Oh, I accidentally Googled Mark Twain. It's an Asian gymnast.
Huh. What about Mark Twat?
That'd be a good Mark Twaint.
Mark Taint.
Mark. Hold on. Let's find this first thing first. And
Mark Seablast?
Mm-hmm.
I heard about Mark Guz.
Mark Butt Foam.
We could, why don't all three of us change our names legally?
I'm into
I was thinking about changing
Guz, last name, the Guz brothers.
I was thinking about being the C Guz.
The Guz bros.
Like C Guz, like C dot Guz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can say C Guz on TV, but you can't say it on Twitter.
Dude, Twitter is more strict than TV.
What'd you see about Twitter? What's going on with Twitter these days? Anything new?
Lots of retweets on my end.
Really?
I got a new look. I don't know if you've seen my new profile picture.
I think I've seen it. I'm about to look at it.
I changed it. All right.
Hey, listeners, you're listening to Twisting the Wind on the Feral Audio Network.
I should rebrand myself.
If you want to get into some cool stuff, I would check out Randy Litke, at Randy Litke. It's RandyLitke. And you check out Brendan Walsh. That's at BrendonWalsh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a Twitter handle. Mm-hmm. Both of those are going to give you all kinds of fun stuff to fuck around with. It's going to be cool.
I did one that I was proud of last night, but I tweeted at a late time.
Oh, yeah.
I should have saved it. Mm-hmm. It said, you might not be able to judge the contents of a book by its cover, but you can usually judge what it smells like. Something like that.
Like,
I have to, because it was a guy, there was like, we went to, after the Jungle Book, we went to Edendale to get a glass of wine.
That's a great place to get a glass of wine.
And Amanda was like, ugh. I was like, wait, what, does it smell something? She's like, yeah, it's just fucking cologne. And like, we turned around, there was a guy standing 5 feet away from her, but it was like, yeah, he totally looks like the kind of guy who would reek of cologne.
I'm tired of people going on the jogging trail or the hiking trail.
With
like,
cologne on?
Yeah. I'm like, stop it.
That's fine.
You know what I'm like? I'm like, yes. I'm like, stop it. I'm like, I've had enough of this. If you're going to be on the jogging, hiking trail, don't smell like you just washed your clothes. Don't smell like perfume. Don't smell like cologne.
You know what I do?
Don't smell dog shit.
Smell like BO.
I go on those trails and I actually spray all the flowers with cologne.
You do?
Yeah.
Where do you spray? On the stem or the petals?
On the petals.
Oh, so it's like the flowers are like, the flower's probably super confused. It's like, why are you spraying me? I already smell good.
People think flowers smell like fucking Polo cologne.
So here's I think I found Mark Twain complained to Tesla about recurring bouts of constipation.
Are you serious?
Tesla suggested to Twain that he avail himself of the therapeutic benefits he'd find standing atop one of his new inventions, a vibrating, humming, oscillating metal disc. But it was no normal oscillating disc. Tesla looked at his skeptical writer and sold him on the notion of his new invention, imparted vitality. Sounds like those things. You ever go to the float tank place?
I haven't, but
Got these things you stand on that vibrate that are supposed to be good.
Yeah, it's supposed to make all your muscles fight it, so it's like a workout. It's like a vibro. You stand on it and it just goes brrr.
So he stands on it or whatever. This is really wordy, this thing.
Read it.
Mark Twain leapt up on the oscillating disc. Mark Twain nodded. Tesla tripped the switch. Electricity surged through the cables. The disc began to vibrate. High tension voltage crackled in the air around Mark Twain. Just imagine that picture. You see, this person thinks they're a writer. I mean, it's just like this could be five sentences.
Well, I am imagining that picture. That's how writing works. When you read something, you think about it.
Yeah. Hey,
Now
think
just,
about what that looks like.
If a musician was like, "What'd you think about my last lyric? Did it sound good?
We should write a song like that.
How about that chord? Did you like the way that chord sounded?
Yeah. Imagine the sound of this music.
Yeah. Oh, how about I
got to find a different article about this. Do
you know if you play that song to dogs, they will run?
Was that Jurassic Park?
That's Back to the Future. Yeah, because dogs don't understand the nature of time. They're confused by it.
Dogs. What is the deal with them?
They're just sweethearts. They're good guys.
What's the point of a dog's life, you think?
Point of it?
Yeah, like people are always pondering the meaning of life. They're only thinking about the meaning of human life.
I would say the meaning of a dog's life is humans.
Yeah,
because I think humans and dogs have co-evolved ever since pre-Homo sapiens.
Yeah,
dogs and humans have lived together because dogs need humans, and humans we don't need them, but they get help. It's a beneficial relationship.
Mm-hmm. Here's eight things you didn't know about Nikola Tesla. He was born during a lightning storm.
Well, how is that true?
Nikola Tesla was born around midnight between July 9th and July 10th, 1856, during a fierce lightning storm. I'm sure there's weather almanacs.
Yeah, I'm also sure it's like...
According to the family legend, midway through the birth, a lightning bolt shot into his mom's pussy and exploded him out of her tits.
That's true.
Keep going.
All right, he was really funny. This is the second thing.
Says
he was really funny. Tesla had a terrific sense of humor.
Also a thing where it's like...
Opinion-based.
All it takes is one person to say it.
Well, they have a letter that he wrote to Rudyard Kipling. Didn't he write the Jungle Book?
He did.
That's crazy. I just watched the Jungle Book, and now I'm tired. Oh, dude, I'm going to have an episode. He wrote this. Okay, it says, Tesla had a terrific sense of humor. For example, after dining with writer and poet Rudyard Kipling, he wrote this in a correspondence to a close friend. My dear Miss Johnson, what is the matter with ink spiller Kipling? He actually dared to invite me to dine in an obscure hotel where I would be sure to get hair and cockroaches in the soup.
So he's basically just busting his friend's balls?
I guess so.
Well, everyone...
That's funny.
That's a ball bust.
He and Edison were rivals, but not sworn enemies? There's a lot there.
What's the difference between that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's like, you know, UFC guys. They go beat the shit out of
rivals,
each other.
They're both doing the same thing.
But so they love each other. UFC guys love.
He developed
not all of them. There's UFC fights going on right now.
There is.
Yeah.
Today.
After right this, now. You can watch them.
Oh, who is it?
I don't know.
Is it McGregor?
No. His next fight is another rematch with Diaz. That's crazy.
I think I would bet on Diaz again.
Yeah.
He developed the idea for smartphone technology in 1901.
What's that?
Tesla.
What did he develop? The idea of having a
iPad Mini 1.
Here's what he said. Imagine having a phone in your pocket. Imagine it. I have, could you imagine having a phone in your pocket?
Well, I mean, it's the technology.
Could you imagine?
In the race to develop transatlantic radio, Tesla described to his funder and business partner, J.P. Morgan, a new means of instant communication that involved gathering stock quotes and telegram messages, funneling them to his laboratory where he'd encode them and assign them in a new frequency.
Could you imagine having a phone in your pocket?
That frequency would be broadcast to a device that would fit in your hand, he explained. In other words, wireless internet, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I guess he shook the poop out of Mark Twain. One famous legend surrounding the eccentric Tesla was that he had an earthquake machine in his Manhattan laboratory that shook his building and nearly brought down the neighborhood during experiments. Tesla's device wasn't actually an earthquake machine, but a high-frequency oscillator, a piston set underneath, blah, blah, blah. It did shake. Twain was known for having digestive problems, so Tesla, who knew Twain through the Gentleman's Club, invited him over.
A gentleman's club?
Yeah, that sounds... We should start one.
I was just thinking the same thing.
He instructed Twain to stand on the platform while he flipped on the oscillator. After about 90 seconds, Twain jumped off the platform and ran for the facilities. Doesn't say he browned his suit, though.
He probably didn't brown
Tesla
it.
Tesla had famous friends. Pearls drove him crazy.
Pearls? What does that mean?
Sounds
like one person said
Tesla
that once.
Tesla could not stand the sight of pearls to the extent that he refused to speak to women wearing them.
That sounds like something he picked up from a pickup artist book.
He's negging these pearl
bitches. Yeah,
he's
negging. Oh, those pearls. But these are expensive and nice.
He had a photographic memory and a fear of germs.
That's a photographic memory.
Okay. What did I just say 10 minutes ago?
That's not a photographic memory. That's not a picture.
that's a audio recorder
memory. I have a photographic memory. Ask me anything. I took a photograph of it.
What's the
Mona Lisa look like?
Got it. There you go. I can tell you right now. It's a woman with long hair. She's got her teeth are showing and she's smiling. But it's not. It's one of those things where is she smiling or not?
Oh, yeah. No, that checks out.
Yeah.
You give him one, Randy.
Try me out.
What's the cover of Green Day Dookie look like?
Looks like a bunch of shit flying around. It's little drawings and it says Green Day. Yeah, I can see it right now. I have it.
Okay.
It's like
I could draw it for you.
Yeah,
okay. But I don't have time.
Cool.
So there you go. 3 for 3. What else you got?
What's the Empire State Building look like? How tall is it?
Got it.
Okay.
There you go. I saw the paint. I saw the dorm room.
Visually, what's the like a Huckleberry look like?
Got it. Blam.
Your turn.
Actually, you know what? I don't know because I've never seen one. There you go.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
never, okay. Never taken a picture of my brain.
Like a little tiny blueberry, kind of.
Remember when you were in kindergarten and you were lined up for picture day?
No, because we didn't do it.
Oh.
Because I went to photographic memory
it's
kindergarten.
Too cold.
Oh, so everybody just stood and looked at everybody?
Yep.
You'd get out of...
There was a photographer, and he would just look at each kid.
No, they brought a big mirror in, a mirror the size of a bus.
Ah.
They put the mirror in, and they all go, the teacher goes, her name was Mrs. Barker. She said, okay, kids, ready to take a picture? 3, 2, 1. And they made this, they clapped these two boards together, and that was to teach us to take a picture. And I remember, hold on. Oh, there it is.
God, oh, nice.
What a sweet bunch of kids they were.
What's the kid third to your left wearing? And describe the kid.
Well, it's a she.
Oh, okay.
Her name is Karen Pathulis, and she's wearing a gingham checkered jumper.
A what?
A gingham.
Gingham style?
A gingham style blouse.
What's gingham look like?
She's got saddlebag shoes and crouchy socks. And skinny legs, but she had big tits.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
I love chicks with big tits.
Listen.
That makes me wish I had a photographic memory, because I love chicks with big tits.
Remember that episode of Seinfeld where he was like, he got caught looking at the guy's daughters?
Yes.
And they were like...
And then he started dating a 17-year-old. Remember that?
In the life or in the
in
show?
In real life.
He did?
Do you remember Jerry Seinfeld was dating a 17-year-old
when
he was
serious?
Like 35?
No, really? He wasn't.
Yeah, I swear to God. Look it up.
But how was that? Okay.
I could do that then. I'm only 32.
Randy?
Her name was...
That means I could date a 15-year-old if I wanted to.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I guess like Jerry Seinfeld was so beloved, people just didn't really... Well, New York, maybe the age of consent is 17.
I think in some, there's a couple of southern states where the age of consent is 14.
It is, but you see, I think I think federal law overrides all those things. It so does. I don't even know why. So those of you packing your bags to move to Louisiana or Hawaii.
Mississippi
is out of
14. Yeah, but you're going to, if something happens, you're not going to be tried federally. You know what I mean? You like if there's a statutory
slippery slope
rape thing, if you're going to be in state courts for that.
I would say it's different strokes for different folks.
Well, federal, yeah, I don't know. I mean, everything is up to the state if it's not in the
in the quotes.
In the whatever it's called.
39-year-old Jerry Seinfeld dated a 17-year-old.
Wow.
39?
Oh, yeah. Man, I saw a picture of him and her.
She looks older, I gotta say. She looks she looks foxy.
They dated like right up until he like got married.
What was her name?
To an 18-year-old.
Shoshana Lowenstein.
A Jewish girl.
No, that's not a Jewish name, Johnny.
Shut the fuck up, it is.
No, that doesn't
sound like those cans.
That doesn't sound like a Jewish name.
Those are
She was a Chugasaurus.
Oh my god, yeah. Talk about big boobs.
Yeah, I swear to god, I bet Jerry was like, Where the titty bra? Where it?
Where does the bra end and the boob begin? What's the deal with brassieres?
What's the deal with your tit skin? But you can make a tent out of it.
Jerry, my tits are so out right now. We're going to go to this public thing. It's like, I want to see them out. I want to see them, Lowenstein. Okay, fine, Jerry.
Shoshona?
Shoshana Lowenstein. Know what I mean?
That's not a Jewish
name. Oh my gosh, she wants the money, didn't Jerry Seinfeld? Extra green. Got those paper bags.
She was in high school. a senior in high school.
How did he meet her?
In the park or something.
In the park? What is that? Like
Upper
that
West
movie?
Side.
New York and, style.
When she was approached by one of them. Wait. Shoshana Lowenstein was a senior at the prestigious Nightingale Bamford School on the Upper West Side when...
That sounds like a joke.
On a spring afternoon, she was approached by one of the most well-known comedians in the country. It appears unclear if she knew exactly who he was, but after a short conversation, she gave him her phone number, sparking a relationship that would begin around her high school graduation.
Jesus Christ.
On paper.
And end right after her college one. So they were together for like 4 years, I guess. That's weird. That's so fucking like, I mean, if it wasn't Jerry Seinfeld, like, you know, Shoshana Lowenstein, I don't know if she's Jewish or not, but like her parents would be like, yeah, that's Jerry Seinfeld. Go ahead. Yeah, please fuck our 17-year-old daughter. You're a billionaire. That was like better than marrying a lawyer or a doctor.
That was definitely the case with Duke Ellington.
Yeah. Back in those days. Everyone was dating 15-year-old girls.
This was 93.
But he used to pick up young girls and their mom be like, okay, you're with Duke. We like Duke a lot. We trust Duke.
That's funny.
But he was such a gentleman.
How old was his girl?
Duke Ellington?
No, you said that he was dating a young girl.
Who, Duke?
Yeah.
Well, he just dated all kinds of girls all the time. Oh. But he would always be with really young women, and they would call up their parents and say, like, their parents like, are you coming home? And like, no, I'm with this Duke Ellington. They'd be like, oh, okay, that's fine. Not because he was famous so much as he was, like, famous for being a very just respectable guy, like a very respectable gentleman. So even though...
That's the word Seinfeld, is it? You know what I mean? Like, if it was, like, Steve-O.
Yeah. But Seinfeld's kind of a lech, isn't he?
I don't know. He was on Howard Stern, and Stern said... Stone said, so you sit in Central Park and have a candy bar on a string and pull it when the girls come. Seinfeld was like, he denied that she was 17, but then he came back a month later and was like, all right, I didn't realize she was so young. This is the only girl I ever went out with who was that young.
Didn't realize.
They're right.
Didn't instantly realize.
That's like the first thing you need to know.
Oh, God.
That's crazy. She looks so young in that picture.
Yeah, she looks like a teen.
Yeah, yep.
She looks like a
15-year-old with huge boobs.
Have you ever heard that saying?
39, 17, what is that, 21-year age difference?
There's an old stupid saying that's half a man's age plus 7 is the appropriate lowest number.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why that's supposed to work, but...
It seems like an accurate kind of... It seems like a decent equation.
Yeah.
Plus 7.
So if you're 70, so if let's say you're 80, half of 80 is 40. So 47 is as low as you should go if you're 80.
Oh, okay.
But if you're like for 20, half of 20 is 10 plus 7 is 17.
So do mine. Sense. Do mine.
What's your age?
32.
32, half 32 is 16, right? 16 plus 7 is...
23.
There you go. 23.
Okay, I can handle that. Well, 22 would be okay, too.
18 is fine.
Yeah.
19.
18, 19.
I mean...
20 would be fine, too.
I mean, if you're in, like, 21, Mississippi, 14 that would be, is okay.
Yeah, 14 would be fine.
Where do you meet? Like, let's go to Mississippi. Okay, here's what we do. Change our last names to Guz.
To Guz?
Guz.
Okay.
Guz two brothers. Z's or one Z?
Two G's, two Z's.
Two G's, two Z's. G-G-U-Z-Z.
Yeah.
G-G-U-Z-Z.
G-G-U-Z-Z.
Then we move to one of these 14-year-old age of consent states.
How do we marry 14-year-olds?
I want to marry a 14-year-old so bad. Hi, I'm 14 too. Are you 14?
Oh, my God.
Let's get married.
Is that the Guz brothers?
It's called the Romeo and Juliet clause. Two young ones are allowed to marry, but an old can't marry a young.
Oh, my God. The Guz brothers just pulled up to our high school.
Oh, my God. The Guz brothers are here. I want to get married to them. Papa, can I get married to them? Oh, hold on a second. Daddy, can I get married?
Yeah, you can get married to a Guz brother on only a Guz brother who's that old.
I give you my blessing.
What? You can get married to a Guz. Fine, because they're rich and famous and respectable.
And they got a bus.
Okay, I'm gonna get married to a Guz brother.
Oh my God, we're gonna sleep on the Guz brother's bus. We're gonna live on the bus together.
I'm gonna change my name to Guz. Martha C. G. G. U. U. C. C.
Hello,
Martha C. Guz.
Oh my God, I need another 2 years in there too.
There's two
more double letters. I love them even more now.
G. G. U. U. C. C.
Baby, what does Guz mean?
Sheila. H G G U U Z Z Mrs. Sheila Guz.
Mrs. Sheila C dot double G double U double Z. I'm a C Guz, I'm a C Guz. I'm 12 years old and I love to be with a Guz.
Oh my God, no, wait, you're 12. You have to be 14 to marry one of the Guz brothers.
I'll lie to him and say I'm 14. Is that okay, Mom?
Oh my God, you're gonna fake ID.
He's gonna know because he knows that sisters can't be the same age if they came out the same pussy.
He's gonna marry Randy Guz.
Ooh, I want to, but I'm only 11.
That's okay, you can still marry him.
Okay, it's half your age plus 7. Ooh, I'm under that. I don't know if I can marry him.
No, you guys can just have a relationship secretly and then once you turn 14, get married. Hey, what's up? I'm a 14-year-old boy.
Oh,
I'm dating a girl who's half my age, plus 7, so... Wait a minute.
7 plus 7 is... You cracked the code! 14 is the magic age. 14 is the magic number.
That's when you can finally date someone your own. That's the only time you can date someone your own age. Yeah, and it still follows the rule.
It's a magic number.
So, where else did you go, Johnny?
Boston.
Boston. Me and Randy went to Boston together. We did a live Bone Zone podcast.
Well, fuck me and the dog.
I grabbed the guy by his neck.
No, you didn't.
Slammed him against a brick wall.
Did you really?
Slammed his head against the wall.
I thought we told you about that.
No.
He called Randy an idiot.
Yeah. Right in front of my Brendan. Yeah. This guy has called me an idiot.
Ready, here we go. Okay, I'm going to...
Do you want to hear my perspective?
No, I'm going to tee it up.
I think my perspective is funny first.
Let me tee up the story, okay?
Okay.
Hold on.
Yeah, because Randy saw it.
Shut up.
I saw it later.
Nice, good effect that makes things sound good and just nice and...
Like Barbara Walters?
Weird. Yeah, sort of something like this, maybe. This is good. So, you guys... So, Randy and Brendan here. Hi, you listening to Twisting the Wind with Johnny Pemberton? The Feral Audio Network. Please go to the Amazon portal and buy shit. They have a new operation that works really good. It's all distributed equally across the Feral platform. Thank you. I have my guests here, Brendan Walsh, Randy Lidke, writers, touring comedians, all around great guys. Now, I understand you guys were in Boston recently together doing a live Bone Zone podcast.
I think.
Oh, yeah, it was around Halloween. Because on the poster, there was Halloween scary pictures.
All right, and you're in Boston. Boston is known for a lot of things. Old historic city. A lot of Ben Affleck films are shot there. Very fun, cool place to be. And I've been there before. I'm not especially a big fan of it, but I do think it's fun. And you guys were there doing a live Bone Zone podcast. You do a podcast called The Bone Zone.
That's on
the
All Now Things. Defunct. It got canceled.
Okay, well, there's still a lot to listen, a lot for listeners. Listeners, you should check out episodes of The
library.
Bone Zone. Whole back catalog. Now, you guys were there doing a live one, and I understand that something sort of, there's an altercation. Randy, you want to bring us in with the back end there?
Yeah, this is Randy, co-host of the now defunct Bone Zone podcast.
At Randy Lickie, RandyLiedTke.
That's correct. Yeah, so we were in Boston. We had already done our podcast. Was this the next day even?
It was, yeah.
It was later.
It was the day after we shot Matt's movie.
Okay.
Because we just had a free day to
hang out.
Matt Farley.
Like, Matt Farley is a very creative, interesting musician who's a frequent guest in the Bone Zone. Check him out, listeners. He's a fun guy.
Moturn Media. MOTERN.
The toilet bowl cleansers.
So, I'm sitting at a table inside of a restaurant, like a kind of a pretty fast casual sandwich place.
Fast casual,
right next to a bar where Brendan and I, and one of Brendan's old friends from Austin, we were all drinking at this bar.
Right.
Me and his friend from Austin, we went over to get a sandwich at this place. We're sitting at this table that's right next to the window that goes to the sidewalk.
What time of day is this?
Evening, like 11 p.m. probably.
Oh, probably. Not crazy late, but
11 p.m. is what I would call night.
Okay, like, nighttime.
Yeah.
And there's a handful of these places in Boston where the front window just completely opens.
Oh, out onto
like
the porch.
Like you can walk right out of
it. Yeah, so it's elevated, it's raised, but you can just see people eating right inside. Like you could, if you were in there, you could just walk right out and you would just probably step down probably 2 feet. Okay. So that's what was happening. Like you could just see the sidewalk or whatever. And me and Brendan's friend were eating sandwiches and French fries.
Inside.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I see Brendan and a girl and a guy. And they're, I don't know, in their 30s, probably.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Not like a little girl.
No, they were grown-ups.
And the girl kind of sort of seemed like she was crying a little bit. And Brendan and the guy, and they all seemed pretty casual, but all I just see them walk up. They stop right in the window. They don't know I'm watching. And I just kind of hear Brendan go, "All right, well, I mean, what do you guys want to do?" Like that's, and they were like, "Well, I don't know." And then Brendan's like, "Well, I mean, what should we do?" And to me, it sounded like maybe something had went down and they were like, I thought maybe they
reparations.
Yeah, I thought something had happened in the bar and they went out and Brendan was just like, "Well, whatever. I don't know. Something happened. And if you guys want to get mad at me, you can." Like it sort of seemed like Brendan was like, "Yeah, I spilled a beer. What do you want? What do you want me to do?"
But so you were sitting at this table by yourself.
No, I was with Brendan's friend and I was just like, "Oh, hey, check it out. There's Brendan."
Him and my friend, we were all at the bar. Him and my friend went over to eat French
and
fries. I went out to make a phone call. I went outside and I went to call my girlfriend.
And also, at this point, I knew Brenda was pretty drunk.
Okay.
So, I thought maybe something had happened in the bar. And,
a mistake.
Yeah. But then the guy was just like, "I don't know." And then Brenda's like, "Yeah, I don't know." And then they got in each other's faces. Mm-hmm. And so then I jumped out of the window and got between them. And I was like, "All right, I don't know what's going on here, but like, let's just go." And I was just kind of like sort of trying to break up this fight. And the people in the sandwich place were like, "Don't jump through the window."
Yeah. And I was like, "I guess they have a problem with that."
Yeah. Huh. And then at this point, Brendan can tell the story from the beginning.
Yes.
Oh, well, you didn't even tell the good part.
Well, why? I thought, it's like to me, I just said like, "Oh, I don't know what's happening. Maybe Brendan and this guy got in a little bit of a fight." I didn't know the whole story. And then at that point, Brendan told me what had happened leading up to that point.
I went out to make a phone call.
Right.
And there was like a little alley right next to the restaurant Randy was at. It was like an alleyway restaurant and then the bar I was at.
Mm-hmm.
So I came out. All three of us came out. Those guys went into the restaurant. I went into the alley to make a phone call. As soon as I get on the phone, I hear this guy screaming at this girl and he's behind her just like, "You fucking bitch, blah, blah, blah." And she's like, "Leave me alone." Like they're a couple, obviously drunk and fighting. But then he just hauls off and pushes her in the back real hard and she fucking falls on the ground.
Oh, jeez.
And I was just like, well, I can't. I guess I have to do, so you can't just be like, oh, I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
So I got up and just said to him, like, hey, you know, what the fuck is this? I was like, you can't do that. Like, and I told her, I mean, I don't really remember the details, but I was just like, well, do you have some place you can go or whatever? He's like, that's my fucking wife. She's not going anywhere. Uh-huh. And I was like, well, I think you should just get the fuck out of here. And, you know, this isn't, you guys just need to go sober up or whatever. And yeah, just kind of went back and forth. He was just like really kind defensive. Of aggressive, getting in my face. Uh-huh. But then he did leave. And I think that might be himself. When you saw it. Yeah, he wound up going like, oh, fine, fuck you.
And you were talking to her, like, yeah. And then she eventually came back. And that's when I saw you.
She was sitting, like, on the ledge of the restaurant where Randy was, like, right where the windows were. And I was like, she's crying, like, I don't know what to do. He's usually nice or whatever. And I was like, well, just, why don't you, do you have a friend you can call? Just call someone and go stay there and just fucking sleep it off or whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah. So then she, like, started calling someone. But then the guy came back. Mm. And then that's when it started getting more heated because I was like, look, man, just get out of here.
Yeah.
And then I was just so annoyed with the guy and he was getting more and more kind of aggressive.
Right.
So I just said in my head, I made the decision. I said, if this guy touches me at all, I'm just grabbing him by his fucking neck.
What does this guy look like?
He's like almost my height, but he was skinny.
Like tall, skinny, kind of dopey. He wasn't very intimidating,
okay.
and he wasn't like, I don't know. He looked like he was super wasted, dead in the eyes.
Ugh, that's the worst. It's so scary.
And I could tell the moment when Brendan, you know, when he said, "Oh, I'm going to hit this guy if he touches me," basically, because then Brendan started getting like more aggressive. Uh-huh. Like they were both kind of in each other's face, but Brendan kind of started like baiting him a little bit.
Yeah,
where he would like Brendan would get in his face a little bit and like try to test the guy, and the guy wouldn't really do that much. And then eventually they kind of pushed each other a little bit, and Brendan, like the second he pushed Brendan, he grabbed him by the neck, and he like. Like started running with him because it was like probably 15 feet to that alley.
Yeah.
Oh, he just started running with him and then in the alley slammed his neck up against this brick wall and his head like snapped back and hit the brick wall pretty hard. And the guy's, this is the guy's reaction. He goes, seriously?
Really?
You're gonna do that? Like didn't fight back at all.
Wow.
Like was just completely defenseless.
He was wasted.
Yeah.
And at that point I was like, I just pictured a cop pulling up right that second and arresting Brendan because he's slamming a guy against the wall. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, Brendan, get out of here. We just proved that this guy refuses to fight back.
Yeah.
I can handle that situation.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, Brendan, you know, go into a bar, like get out of here for now. I'll try to make sure that like, I'll watch him to make sure he's not like hitting her and then we'll figure something else out. Eventually the guy walks away for a while, goes into a bar and I'm just like, I don't know. Oh, and then kind of this like homelessy black guy, like this Jamaican guy came up.
Wagwan Rasta.
And he's like, what's going on? And I was like, oh yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, this guy was hitting this girl and then, you know, my friend stepped in and like kind of pushed him up against the wall. And he's just like, oh man, yeah. And I thought he was like agreeing with me, but then he started talking about like, yeah, you can't fucking do anything for women, man. Because then, you know, you get beat up or whatever. And like, he's like, I was just in jail for a while. And like, you can't trust women. And I was like, oh, wait, you're on this guy's side. It was very strange.
There was a bar. There was a bouncer guy who saw the whole thing. Like, after I grabbed him by the neck and pushed him, he came out. He was like, I saw the whole thing. So he would have had my back. But yeah, it was like, yeah, I was drunk. The guy was drunk, but.
Altercation. You know what that sounds like to me? Sounds like classic Boston.
Well, I also pictured you like trying to punch him in the face against the wall and then punching the brick wall and fucking up your hand. So I was just like, okay, everyone stop. Because it was like right up against this super crazy brick wall. And I was like, this is not good.
No, and I didn't have any plans beyond what I did. I just felt like this fucking guy just needs to get out of here. And I just kind of wanted to overpower him just to be like, see what it's like, you know, like fucking, you shouldn't do that to people.
Teaching.
I fucked his wife.
Yep.
Really?
Me and Randy tagged.
We both did. Because we were staying in an apartment like literally right around the corner.
Yeah.
Wet as wet can get.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was wet.
It was wet. It was like crazy wet down her thighs and shit.
Yeah.
Damn, it was like a gush job.
Yeah.
And I ran and took a shower, didn't towel off, and continued to bone.
Yeah. Damn.
Someone home?
Mailman's delivering a pot.
No problem for
toilet
the Guz Bros. Yes.
Yeah, the Guz Brothers.
The Guz Brothers.
I think Guz
awesome.
Brothers sounds better than Guz Bros.
Yeah.
Here they come, the fucking Guz Brothers.
Guz Bros is like a good corporate name.
But side note, if you see me out on the streets, don't challenge me. Because I'm done. I'm not fighting anymore.
Yeah. Don't challenge me.
That's the last time I was going to get physical with someone.
Yeah.
But if you hit a lady, dude,
you'll crack a skull.
Actually, you know what? She probably deserved it. They deserve each other. They're both fucking pieces of shit. I should have just let him continue doing it.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things where, honestly.
That sounds good, actually. Maybe it was a wake-up call. Because it sounds like it's an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
She may be mouthing off, but she doesn't deserve to get pushed to the fucking ground.
Yeah, I didn't mean together. That she. Yeah,
mouthing.
Yeah.
I just said
they went home
off.
And talked shit about me, probably.
Mouthing off.
Well, yeah. When I say she deserved it, I don't mean she deserved it. But, like, they were just both shitheads. And, yeah, like Randy said, I could have wound up getting locked up for getting involved.
You wouldn't have got locked up.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
locked up
maybe
abroad.
Put a cop car and driven down to a station until they got the fucking story straight.
All right, then, buddy, you're going to cool out. You want to put you on ice, buddy. You're going to cool you down.
Nothing like getting home at like 4:30 in the morning from the police station.
Has it ever happened to you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been like arrested or like, I've been hassled by cops when I was younger. Hassled.
Never.
For shit. Like at the Jersey Shore, we all got like, we were running around on the beach all naked and shit. Like, but it was nighttime. It was me and a few of my friends, and we were like running around
14,
naked.
14?
No.
It's a cute age.
I don't know
how
old I was. Maybe I was 14. No, I was probably close, probably 15 or 16. And I definitely was, because I had my driver's license, because I think I drove us down there. So I was probably 16, maybe 17. And
Shoshona age.
Yeah, me and Jerry Seinfeld was like hitting on us.
Hi, can I hang out with you at the beach?
But we went to the Jersey Shore, and I guess we were at a bar, we were drunk or whatever, and then we were like, oh, let's fucking go swimming. So we like went onto the beach and took off all our clothes and went swimming in the ocean. But the tide, it was like El Nino. There was a crazy summer. A bunch of people, I think, drowned that year or whatever, because there was like these crazy. Either way, we got in the ocean. And then when we got out of the ocean, we were like a mile away from where we got in because the tide just took us.
The current.
Yeah, the current. So then we had to walk like a mile back.
Naked?
With no clothes on to try and find our clothes. And then that's when a cop. I guess they just kind of patrol, keep their eyes on the beaches for drunk people trying to go
swimming.
Shine
that light on you? That light?
Yeah. And we were like, well, we need to find our clothes. And actually, I think I had to go. I think I had to come back and go to court or something. Or maybe we just had to pay a fine.
Indecent exposure.
I don't even know. I mean, that's like those Jersey Shore, those beach towns, they just make $1 million off of locking drunk kids up. And yeah, it's just, it's a free for all. It's like, okay, you guys come here, get drunk. We lock 80% of you up at some point. You pay a $400 fine, and then the city has like $1 billion income.
I knew a drummer, a professional musician drummer, and he used to say, people don't go to bars to behave.
Behavior bar. We should open the Guz Brothers should open a behavior
the
bar.
Guz Brothers behavior bar.
The behavior bar / gentlemen's club.
Guz Brothers behavior bar, gentlemen's club.
That's good. We should get. Oh, we should open at that Radio Shack.
Yes.
Where?
Do you want to rent a Radio Shack with us? A vacant Radio Shack.
I love
right
to
by where we live.
I love Radio Shack.
Well, it's empty.
It's empty.
Can I shock you? I love Radio Shack.
Yeah. I love Radio Shack too.
Yeah.
You would, yeah, with all these wires.
Yeah, I love.
We can call it the Behavior Shack.
Behavior Shack.
I like the Guz Brothers Behavior Bar / Gentleman's Club.
Yeah, Guz Brothers Behavior Bar. So we just have like, all these like rules, and you have to wear certain clothes.
So
and
many
just,
rules.
And there's cocktails. You just have to really be on your best behavior.
Yeah, you have to be your best behavior. You have
no
to
swearing.
You have to treat it like you would treat more, like if it was your home that you just bought.
Yeah, and also like you're visiting like your new girlfriend's like grandma's house.
Who's about
or your
to,
new yeah your new girlfriend's parents
yeah.
house
yeah.
or something?
And there's like a bunch of money and cases to show you what you could get if you act nice.
It sounds terrible.
Wait, there's prizes.
Yeah, maybe some
well,
prizes.
But there's like very
behavior prizes.
Very inexpensive whiskey.
Oh.
Yeah, you just pay a yearly fee.
Oh, right,
yeah.
This is a gentleman's
club. It's
a club.
Yeah. It's a private
whiskey?
Club.
Whiskey?
I wonder how much it would cost to lease that Radio Shack.
Yeah, I wonder.
I bet it costs $10,000 a month.
You think so?
Yeah. Do I think so? Yeah.
Dylan, no way.
It's probably like it's probably two grand a month.
Split three ways, $700 a month.
Where is it?
It's right by the 7-Eleven.
Oh yeah, that's a good little home. That's a good little corner.
I know, like, man.
It's a nice location.
Open up a fucking improv school.
Yeah, oh, that'd be a great place to open up an improv school.
Or a
called Impro, or called like Provenant.
Yeah.
Called Prov. My job is Prov.
It'll call it, don't just stand there. Improv.
No shirt, no shoes, no Prov.
I will call it Think, but just a little bit.
Be use your noodle.
Use your noodle. I call it. You know, what I call it. I call it use your to lose it.
Call it the Guz Brothers Improv Olympic.
The Guz Brothers.
Leon and Dion Penises School of Improv.
Leon and Dion Penis.
We have a project where we're going to legally name change our names to Leon and Dion Penis.
Echo.
You need the bear necessities in the bear. Guess who plays the bear? I won't spoil it for you.
Bill Murray.
You got it.
Hi, I'm Bill Murray.
One of the first voices you hear is...
Scarlett Johansson?
No, she's not until way deep into the middle of the movie.
How about Skadge? That's what I call her.
Skadge, yeah.
Skadge.
I'm a Skadge man.
Do you guys have any stories from the road you want to leave us with?
I was in Indianapolis, and I got to say, going to places like that during an election year, you see crazy commercials, man.
Right.
Like, because it's like, it's for like Indiana's full of, it's a pretty solidly red state.
Obama defended him. Obama supported him. Obama shepherded him through the light to where he is now. Do you want this man defending your children in a rape scenario? Paid for it by
Ted Cruz.
Paid for by Citizens United against Ted Cruz.
There were two guys running for Congress or Senate or something, and they both had the same. They were both running on the same platform, which was like anti-Obama, which doesn't make sense because Obama's gone.
A dark black hole.
Well,
nighttime.
It's a pretty racist. The KKK headquarters is in Indiana.
A half black man. KKK.
But one guy's platform was, well, they both were like, they're both sworn to end Obamacare.
Right.
They're like, we're going to, if elected, he will end Obamacare. So
I
both
will
of them
fucking
had that.
Go down there and clip it off with my own pair of shears.
And one of them was, he said he never, I guess he was already in senator, where he never bows down to Obama and he will end Obamacare and defeat ISIS. Like that, those were his two main points.
He's running for like District 29 of.
Yeah.
He's running for a librarian.
But those, you know, it's like there's enough dumb shits in that area where they're like, well, that's what we need. We need to get this fucking black asshole out of office and we need to kill them fucking towel heads.
When I was in...
yeah, he's a fucking councilman, District 29. Is he...
You know, but here's the deal. It's
comptroller.
It's grassroots. It starts from the bottom. You got to be in all together. You want to get them out. When I was living in Minnesota, sometime after September 11th, there was a guy on the radio who was, I think it was maybe Michael Savage, who was like, we need to stack these towel heads up like cordwood. He said it like six times in a row. We need to stack them up like cordwood. Oh, God. Jeez.
Country's crazy, man. Like, just looking at, like, you know, towel like head. Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. That's how did it get so out of control where these guys are legitimate presidential? Like, shouldn't Ted Cruz, like Ted Cruz especially.
That guy looks like more like a pedophile than any pedophile I've ever seen.
Yeah. Dude, legitimately like seems like an alien. Did you read that story about him buying 100 cans of soup?
No.
The day after he got married?
What?
I swear, it's a real story. And his wife's
I've checked out election stuff. I really have. I'm not involved in it.
Well, here's my, I feel like we've become such like, you know, the smart people really have to kind of take charge in this country. We've been cutting slack to like all these fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Where, like, Ted Cruz legitimately should just be, like, dragged out in the street, beaten up by everybody, and sent into the fucking woods to go, get the fuck out of here, you weirdo. Like, just stop muddying up all the, like, real shit. You're a fucking piece of shit.
It's the end of the empire. It's a classic end of the empire sort of thing. Have you seen this? This is something where I feel like nothing matters at all. Is that, there's this video I saw today. You know about the Modular Body Project? the modular body.
Oh, is that the thing that you have sex with in virtual reality?
No, this is a scientist and a team of scientists who are making, they're able, you know how they're able to like grow organs and stuff?
Yeah.
Like make tissue. Mm-hmm.
With, I saw a porno last night that really grew my organ.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out. All right. Sorry.
This is this thing. I mean, it's so disgusting and scary. It's hard to describe. You have to see the video. I'll put a link up to it. If you search the modular body, Project Oscar, the first human modular prototype. And here it is.
Oh, wow.
We're looking at Oscar, the first human modular prototype that is able to live in various setups.
So it's a living organism?
What's going to happen is that I'm going to connect the brain to the heart module to activate the blood circulation.
So just plug the thing into it?
The lung is going to start breathing. You can see both organs are now collaborating.
Those are biological organs.
I can add a kidney module.
So it's going to piss?
It's really creepy now.
The limb module.
Oh, no.
It starts actuating the organism.
Oh, my God.
Now it's looking for the optimal temperature, which is 37 degrees. If I add another limb...
That is terrible.
Watch.
Oscar will recognize it and benefit from new possibilities.
We're working together.
I hate that.
So what looks like, you can't see, you gotta watch the video, but it looks like a headless, skinless bat. Yeah. And it's it has a computer brain that's hooked up to these things that are like biologically integrated with a silicon-driven computer thing. And that thing is seeking its ideal temperature, so it can mobilize.
That's terrible.
Imagine like 5 years from now what that shit's going to look like.
It's going to look like a me. Person.
It's going to look like you. It's going to look like a fucking guy.
Okay, here's the... do you want to hear the Ted Cruz the soup thing?
Yeah.
Wedding night in cans of soup. What? For those who didn't see that, can you explain this?
I will explain. You know, this was an experience at the beginning of our life together, and so I did recount it to Megan the other day.
That's where it was.
You know, I grew up in California, in a home where my parents spent a lot of time outdoors. So we had our own garden, we grew our own vegetables, and my mom did a lot of things that were homemade. So when I married Ted, we got back from our honeymoon, and he went off to the store and came home by himself, and I was completely shocked to see that he arrived back at our apartment with literally 100 cans of Campbell's chunky soup. I never bought 100 of anything.
All the same?
Different kinds. Oh, different kinds.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they're aliens trying to act human.
This was shocking to me. So we had a tough conversation about it, and I said, you don't buy 100 of anything, much less canned soup. Well, you know, we can't do this. I'll be making things. And he said, no, I know you. You won't be making things. And so the next morning, it was a weekend morning, I loaded up our car before he woke up and returned every single can. And when I got home, I called my mother just to make sure I'd done the right thing as a newlywed, and she emphatically disagreed with me. And so when Ted opened the pantry, I had to tell him quickly that I would go back and buy those cans again. She said, in fact, are you going to cook every night? We were both working at the time, and I'm really not a good cook, Anderson. I've burnt.
Anderson's
things. I think the last time I tried to make.
We're both terrible cooks. That is not a skill either one of us.
So she said wisely.
You know what your strengths are. You know?
She said wisely, it is not your strength. I cleaned my mother's house growing up. I can clean a house like nobody's business, but I'm not a great cook. Okay. So she said, since you probably won't cook a lot for him, you should let the man
have soup.
There's so many things wrong with that.
Number one,
it's supposed to be endearing.
Yes,
and like it's like horrifying. They decided, like, let's tell that story.
Yeah,
so we're just normal people. And it's like, no, none of that's normal.
What the fuck?
They're sitting there, like, just kind of like, yeah.
So you bought 100 cans of soup, you returned 100 cans of soup, and you bought them again. Well, very normal.
And the weird part is, like, and we had a tough conversation about it. It's like, what kind of tough conversation did you have about the soup?
Also, the mom saying you did a bad thing, like, that's not such old wisdom. You crossed your husband's, you went against your husband's wishes, dear.
Yeah.
That's not a good way to start off a newly wedded wedding.
Your reptilian husband, he needs that soup.
My gosh.
Yeah, well, that's just the tip of the iceberg of how fucking freaky that guy is.
Ah, so guys.
Mm-hmm. Road story from Randy.
Randy, just give me a quick road story and tell me where we can find, where listeners can find your body parts online.
I was in Winnipeg. I locked myself out of the apartment.
Oh, that's a good story.
Climbed up this kind of ladder on the side of the thing, and I fell into a pillow truck. Yeah. When is this going to come out?
Maybe this week.
Brendan and I and Johnny, are you going to be in Austin?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Brendan, Randy, and Johnny will all be in Austin at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival.
It's not redacted. This already happened. Sorry.
Live Bones on Podcast with special guest Johnny Pemberton. Eww. And Martha Kelly.
And Martha Kelly is going to be there too.
Hilarious.
At the Velveeta Room.
Velveeta Comedy Lounge.
Go to Google Moon Tower Comedy Festival.
Moon Tower Comedy and
Oddity. But if you Google Moon Tower Comedy,
So I'll be there.
I'll be Thursday through Saturday?
I'll be there getting there Friday morning.
Okay.
And then I'll fly out on Sunday.
Yeah.
Great. I'm going to drive back. So if anybody wants to shoot out tires of a rental car.
Nice. Yeah. That's cool, bro.
I have a bunch of stuff in storage that I need to get.
Oh, Austin. Austin's a fun, cool, funky
place. It's going to
be fun. It's going to be funky.
I'm going to try not to drink a lot.
I'm going to drink. I've been kind of not drinking the last couple of weeks. Because I was sick. So
I had a few glasses of wine.
I'm going to drink.
Bottle of wine.
I might drink too. My old lady's coming with me. She'll be there.
Your young lady.
Yeah. My 17-year-old Seinfeld.
Boy bride.
Shana. So thanks for being here.
Boy bride.
So make sure you check back in. Make sure you give kudos. Make sure you check in using all the location apps and keep us in mind when you're writing your will.
When are we going to do the real podcast?
Let me just 10 more minutes.
Get some room tone.
Getting room tone. Okay, room tone. Ready? Okay, it's okay now. Is it okay?
Thanks for listening. More to come. This has been Twisting the Wind with Johnny Pemberton on the Feral Audio Network. Good luck to you in life. Shine your light brightly to people and places and everywhere you go. It's good to be here, but where is here? It's okay. Bye!
Get this at all.
What is, honestly, I don't know what this is doing right now. Why is it? What?
What?
This is really weird. This has never happened before. I don't know what to do. Is this normal?
Normal?
It's like it's just random oscillate. Oh, shit.
As a branch of the United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.